Anyway, Pastor Andy is away again this week. He sends his greetings to every single one of us. God is doing amazing things. He has been having meetings in Sicily, and he said that they've been absolutely amazing, and it's gone beyond what he could have even imagined. He's been training people, so going around sharing about Soul Winner, so training churches and leaders and equipping them to carry the gospel. So he has preached 11 times over 3 days. He's been in 3 countries in 20 days and had 22 meetings he has been in. So that is absolutely crazy. But you know what? God's power has been evident in everything that he's been doing. And you know, as Pastor Andy goes, we go with him. We pray for him. We're believing that God, what God's doing in him, he's just going to rock the world for Jesus. Because you know, that's what we want to see, right? We want to see lives changed and people set free. So as most of you may be aware, we are starting a new series today called Growing God's Family. So we know our whole theme of the year is about magnify and multiply, right? So believing that as we magnify the name of Jesus, all people will be drawn to him. And this, over the next 4 weeks, we are going to be talking about growing God's family. So we're going to be looking at evangelism. We're going to be looking at growing God's household, reaching our families for Jesus, reaching our worlds for Jesus, and also representing Christ well. So if you have not yet ever bought the book Soul Winner or I Am Redemption, I would highly, highly recommend over these next 4 weeks to grab a copy. They were wrote by Pastor Andy, as most of us may know, but they are incredible books that literally share the heart of God for redemption in the lives of the people in this world. And so I would really encourage everyone to try and grab a copy over the next 4 weeks. You can go call up the office, go on the church center app, speak to one of the leaders, speak to someone, just get a book and all will be well. Is that okay, everyone? Fantastic. So we are kicking off week one, which is today, and we're going to be talking about how God wants a big family. So we're going to be touching on growing God's household. So when we speak about multiplication and God's desire for it, we cannot ignore the fact that God wants to see multiplication in terms of people coming to Christ. Every time a person says yes to Jesus, his kingdom expands and his family grows. So you know, we're all one big family. God has always desired to have a large, loving family. The church is his household, and he wants many children, so basically every person in this world, to be a part of it. So hands up for me if you are an only child. Okay, just a couple, just a few. All right, hands up if you have 2 siblings. Okay, hands up. So I should have said one first. Hands up if you've got 1 sibling. Okay, hands up if you have over 3 siblings, 3 or over. Oh, wow, okay, there is a lot of you in this place. So some of you are part of a very, very big family, okay? So regardless of how many people are in your family, when you come into the house of God, it's like, welcome to a big family, whether you wanted it or not. Some of us are like, I was happy being an only child and now I go to church. Oh my goodness. But that is okay. We want to be part of God's family. Now, in order to grow God's household, so God wants a big family, the first thing is we need to get a hold of God's heart. Turn to your neighbor, just say, get a hold of God's heart. Fantastic. So what is God's heart? God's heart is for this world to know him. The classic and probably the most well-known verse is John 3:16. And it perfectly describes the Father's heart for this world, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. life, sorry, not eternal love. So what is God's heart for the lost? God's heart is firstly that no one should perish. And as a church, we are believing this year that we will multiply, not because we want more numbers, but because we want to carry God's heart and see souls saved. We want to see souls saved. And you know, as God's family grows and as church grows, sometimes that can feel a little bit uncomfortable, right? Your seat that you always sit on suddenly gets taken by the new person who comes in, and they don't know. They don't know what you're like. They don't know you usually give everyone a little stare so no one sits there. And your seat gets taken. It can feel uncomfortable. Or maybe when you walk into the coffee hall after church and you're like, it's so busy in here. Sometimes souls being saved means us being uncomfortable. But that's okay, because the most important thing is people knowing Jesus. It reminds me in Matthew 19 when children were being brought to Jesus, and the disciples were having a bit of an issue with it. They were like, no, take the children away. And Jesus rebuked them and he said, no, let the children come. And you know, when at times, maybe in our hearts, when maybe sometimes you're like, oh, I just love my little life. Don't push people away from Jesus. Let them come. God wants a big family and he wants us to grab his heart for this. God's heart is that he wants many kids. He desires all people to become his children. And in John chapter 1, we're just going to have a quick read of this verse from verses 9 to 13. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. God's heart is that everyone who comes to know him will become his child. He's a father that wants us to get his lost children. He's a father that desires for all of his children to know him. So in order to grow God's household, we need to know God's heart for humanity. God's heart, the church, is his family and his household. So we are a spiritual family. We are to grow together and we're to invite others to be part of it. We're not a little clique. We're not a little sect that's like, it's just us and we don't want anyone else. We want everyone else. The people we like, the people we don't like as much, the people that look like us, the people that don't look like us, the people that are different from us, whoever they are, if they have a heartbeat, God wants them to be part of the family. When someone is born again, they join his family. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Members of his household. As long as there's souls that still need saving, there's still churches that need to be planted. As long as there's souls that still need saving, there's people that need to go out and open up their mouths and reach other people. This is more of a reminder this morning for our hearts to be awakened again for the gospel. For our hearts to be awakened again, to be reminded that people are perishing and they need Jesus. They need him. Salvation is more than forgiveness. It's adoption into God's household. God's heart is that not one person would perish. We are one big family and he wants the family to keep on getting bigger. So number one, in order to grow God's household, God wants a big family, so we, number one, need to get a hold of God's heart. Number two, in order to grow God's household, we need to take up our role as ambassadors. So those who have accepted Jesus as their Saviour are a part of his family. So everyone here, if you've given your life to Jesus before, you are a part of God's family. But those who haven't are not yet. But God wants us to go and get his lost children. And we are sent to do this. So evangelism isn't something that is optional, no matter how awkward it may be. We are ambassadors, people who are sent to bring others home and into sonship with Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.'" So when we cry out for souls, we are speaking on behalf of Christ. God wants us to be people who are used to carry his heart to this dying world and preach the truth. An ambassador is simply someone who represents Christ. So you will meet different types of people. Often you'll meet people in this world who know they're lost. Maybe you were that person one day and you were like, you just woke up one day and you was like, "I need God." That happens to some people. But there are others who have no idea that they're lost and they're living life so happily. Some people just don't have a clue. I remember when I was younger and I was the youngest in the family. So, you know, everyone's got to look after the youngest. Shout out to anyone who's the youngest in their family. You know what it's like. Yep, yep. Okay. So I was the youngest in the family. And I remember that anywhere I went, my older brother, he had to look after me. And one day my brother asked my mom and dad if he could go to his friend's house. And my mom and dad said, "Yes, but you have to take your little sister with you." Obviously, he's fuming about that, but he goes. But we go to his friend's house, and I don't know, maybe after 30 minutes or so, I got bored, right? And I'm like, I want to go home. And he's like, "Oh, I'm just trying to play the PlayStation." And I'm like, "But I want to go home." So he says, "Okay, you can go home, Paula. But you've got to do one thing, okay?" He's like, because so his friend lived on the same road as us. So let's say his friend lives here and I live just at the back of this hall, not far at all, right? So my brother says, "I'm going to let you go home by yourself, right? Just knock on the door and go in." I was like, "Yeah, of course, I can do that. That's fine." So I go home and I knock on the door and no one answers. So I'm like, "Oh, okay, keep knocking." No one answers. So I'm waiting for a few minutes. No one's answering the door. I don't know where my mom and dad went, but they weren't home. So then I decided, and I was just standing there. Obviously, common sense isn't always common to some people, okay? So common sense would have been, "Paula, go back to your brother's friend's house," right? But I just stood there, and then along the road, along comes my sister's friend. So I have an older sister as well. So along comes my sister's friend. She's like, "What are you doing outside?" I said, "Oh, I'm locked out." She goes, "Oh, do you want to come with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I go with my sister's friend and we go out for the evening. And I'm just living life. I'm happy. I'm enjoying myself. I got to meet my sister's friend's friend. Life is good for me. Anyway, we're walking home and we're walking up my road and I'm just seeing people everywhere. Everybody on my street, I have a long road. Everybody is out and about. Then all I hear is, "Paula, it's Paula, it's Paula." And I'm like, "What is going on?" I had no idea that I had gone missing. I was lost. I go upstairs. My mom's on the bed wailing and weeping and crying. They thought I'd been kidnapped or something. My brother was fuming. You had one job, Paula, to go home or come back. And I had no idea, but I was lost. And do you know what? It's a bit silly, but it reminds me sometimes of this world, of people who are living life. They're enjoying life, and they have no idea that they are lost. And what do they need? They need someone who's going to open up the Word of God and tell them, you need to come back to God. They've got no idea. They're living their best lives. They haven't got a clue. I remember the same thing happened when I first got saved. When I went to church, I grew up in what I thought was a Christian family, but we just didn't go to church. But I knew that I was told that I was a Christian. And I remember the first time I was invited to church, and I went excited, and I go to church. And it was when the gospel was shared, I suddenly realized, like a veil just was torn from my eyes. And I realized, oh, they're talking about me. I'm lost. And you know, there's going to be some people in this world. Wouldn't we love it if everyone knew they were lost and they all just wanted Jesus and they all had dreams every night about Jesus and they just came to church? That would be so easy for us, right? We'd have to get out of our comfort zones or anything. But it doesn't work like that. God wants us to be ambassadors. The ones that are sent out to call out to our city, to call out to our country, to call out to our schools, our colleges, our workplaces, wherever they are, saying, come back to God. He wants us to get his heart so we can be his ambassadors. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables about lost things. He talks about the lost sheep, he talks about a lost coin, and he talks about the lost son. I'm not going to read those stories for the sake of time. But in the lost sheep, we know that there's a sheep, there's 100 sheep, and one of them goes missing. And the shepherd goes out to find the sheep because the sheep is lost. We hear about the lost coin, and a woman has lost a coin. Some of us might just think it's just a coin, leave it. But the woman searches her house until she finds the coin. And then she rejoices when she finds it. And then we hear about the lost son. And many of us know that story very well, when he decides that he no longer wants to live in his father's house. So he decides to take his inheritance and go away. When he leaves his father's house, as far as the father's concerned, he's lost. And the father waits eagerly for him to come back. And Jesus was telling these parables to the crowd. He was telling these parables to the people because he was trying to show God's heart. Although they're different parables and all of those things have different values in different ways, he was sharing the heart that lost things are valuable to God. People are valuable to God. And his heart cries out because he wants them back. God wants us to understand his heart and be the people who go and bring others to him. So in order to grow God's household, we need to get a hold of God's heart. We need to take up our role as ambassadors. And number three, we need to reach out. The power of one, of every single one of us purposing in our hearts that we're going to reach out to one other person. The gospel moves powerfully one person at a time. When each believer takes responsibility for just one soul, we can change this world for Jesus. It's normal to tell someone else about Jesus once you've encountered him. In the Bible, we hear when Andrew reaches out to Peter when he meets Jesus. We hear when Philip reached out to Nathanael. We hear when the woman at the well, whose life was changed by Jesus, reached out to her whole village. It all starts with one person sharing with another person. One person just sharing with another person. I'm going to ask you guys to do a little practical for me, okay? Is that all right? So if you're willing and you're able to, I would love you, if you came to Christ because you were invited to church or someone told you about Jesus, could you stand up for me? Fantastic. So all of these people here are here because someone opened up their mouth or dragged them to church and they gave their lives to Christ. If it wasn't for whoever that person is, they wouldn't be standing here today. Now I'd love you, stay standing, guys. If you have come to Christ or you come to church, obviously you've made your decision to follow Christ, but you come because you grew up in a Christian family. Can you stand up for me? Amazing. Amazing, amazing. So next week we're going to be talking on family salvation. So surrounding this first room, sorry if I haven't called out your situation. I don't know what it is. I can't think. Right, you can sit down, guys. But how amazing is that? That we're surrounded by people whose family brought them up in God's ways. And they decided that they made a decision that they wanted to follow Jesus. And they continued living for Christ. And so parents, that is a shout out to you. Do not get disheartened when you feel like your kids aren't responding to the gospel. Do not get disheartened when you feel like they're walking away. Keep on praying. Keep trusting God. And for the ones who were standing because they were invited, and that includes me as well, thank God that someone decided to be uncomfortable to tell you the gospel. And we want to do exactly that back. Your one matters. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Everyone counts. No one is ever too insignificant to be reached for God. Every person matters. That one person you could reach might be someone who ends up reaching thousands. And you know, think about Billy Graham. Most of us know him. He was a very well-known evangelist. And someone reached out to him. One evangelist shared the gospel. I believe Billy Graham was the only person to come to the front. But Billy Graham then went on to reach millions of people. When you're reaching people, you don't need to be anyone but yourself. One of the lies of the enemy that quickly makes us count ourselves out of being an ambassador is that you need to be bold, you need to be confident, you need to be loud, you need to be someone who can't stop talking. That is not correct. To be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you just need to be you. Fully submitted, fully surrendered to the will of God over your life. And as you do that, you will reach other people. Reaching 1 million, which we're believing for, starts with everyone reaching one. You are called to reach people. For a moment, church, I just want you to think back to maybe when you first got saved. And that fire of God that was in your bones, that you was like, I know that I know that I know that God is real. Remember that moment before the troubles of this world tried to come and entangle all of that? That moment when you knew in your heart that my life is God's. And usually when that moment comes, something else comes with it. A desire to tell someone else. A desire of, I can't keep this to myself. My life has been changed and I want other people to know about him. Yeah. But often what happens is that things of this world, often distractions, busyness, whatever it may be, comes into our lives and makes us turn the gospel to being all about us, all about the things that we need, all about how God needs to enrich our lives and help us, rather than about souls. And as I was preparing this week, I just had just this random picture on my heart, and I don't know if it's for one person or many, but it was simply a picture of someone who, that was you. You got saved and you was on fire for God, fully on fire. You wanted to tell everyone. You did tell everyone about Jesus. And I don't know what it is that happened. Maybe it was embarrassment. Maybe it was feeling like you didn't quite fit in. Maybe things in your life rocked your world a little bit. And because of that, it stopped you. And you've lost that fire for souls. And I'm just praying that whoever that is, that right now God will just place that fire back in your heart to begin to reach others. Don't let being embarrassed stop you. Don't let your mind work up to telling you why you shouldn't do it today. If God prompts your heart, move in obedience to Him. You know, often when you have a heart for the lost, you feel a brokenness in your heart, right? You feel a weight for your friends or your family member that doesn't know God. And often it can feel so much easier to try and numb that, to try and numb that brokenness, because it's easier to try and forget about it rather than constantly feeling burdened. But do you know what? God wants us to be broken for the things that He is broken for. And He is broken for the people that don't know God. He is broken for your family member that has walked away from God. And that brokenness that you feel isn't meant to be numbed. It's meant to make you stand up or get down on your knees and cry out to God in prayer. It's meant to wake up your heart to stop praying for yourself. It's good. God cares about everything. But to begin to cry out for your son again, to cry out for your daughter, for your sibling, for your friend who don't know Jesus. And I remember many years ago when someone really close to me walked away from God. And my heart was grieved. Not the type of grieved where you just say, oh yeah, they'll come back to God. I'm just full of faith. They'll come back to God. My heart was broken. I was like, no, God. No. Because sometimes we've got to feel the weight. This is eternal. And when someone walks away from God, whether it's in church, whether it's your family, whoever it may be, there should be a grief that rises up in us that says, no, the enemy cannot have them. And sometimes we need that weight to rest on us. And I remember I was like, no, God. And I didn't know what to do with myself. I was grieved every day. It felt like everyone's living life like normal. Everyone's happy. But my heart was broken. Because I was like, how can they walk away from God? How can they walk away? And I was so desperate for them to come back. So I began to pray. I began to pray. But the thing is, you know, you pray day one, you're like, I'm grieved. You pray day two, you pray day three, you pray for a few weeks until you kind of get a little bit weary and tired and try and move on with life. But I believe there's people in this building who are intercessors. There's people in this building who are evangelists. There's people in this building that God has given you His burden for the lost. You've tried to numb it. You've tried to move on with life, but you cannot shake it. And I believe this morning that God's fire just wants to rest on you and tell you, you weren't crazy. Your heart is my heart. I want souls. Your heart is my heart. I want want people to know me, says the Lord. Don't allow your heart to forget about your family and your friends that don't know him yet. So we want to pray and begin to believe. Maybe in this moment you can think of one person who's walked away from the Lord. Maybe there's one person in your heart who's never given their life to Jesus. And you're going to say, Lord, is that my one? And we're going to begin to pray for them. You know, there's at the beginning of the year, we gave out the VIP cards where you can write up to 5 names of people that you want to pray for. I want to encourage you. It wasn't just a cool idea. It was so we can remember. So we can remember. You know when life tries to distract you, but you've got your VIP card in the mirror or wherever it is, and you remember the ones who have walked away from God. And over this next 4 weeks, this is what we're going to be talking about. Because I believe, church, that God wants to awaken our hearts to come back to that place where we want others to know him. God wants to awaken our hearts, move those distractions, move the busy stuff in life that's trying to bombard our minds and stop us from caring about souls. And he wants us to keep the main thing, the main thing. And so as we pray, I just want to encourage you. How is God asking you to reach out? How is God asking you to reach out? For all of us, it's going to be in different ways because we're different people. But the Great Commission was for every single disciple. Every single one of us. And so first, we're going to pray to see if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus and you want to give your life to Christ. Maybe you've walked away or maybe you've never known Jesus and today is your day. We believe that Jesus came from heaven to earth to die for our sins. And that when we give our life to him, our sins are washed away and we're given a brand new life to live for him. And just while every eye is closed, I just want to give an opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning and you're saying, that's me, I want to give my life to Jesus. I would love you to do one thing for me, and that's just to simply raise your hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you. Anyone else that you're saying, that's me, I want to come back to God, or I need to give my life to Jesus? Thank you, praise God. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else, you're saying, that's me, I want to give my life to Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the hands that are lifted this morning. Father, I just speak over them, Lord, as they make that decision today to turn away from their old life, Lord Jesus, and to run into the newness of everything that you have for them. I pray, God, that you will just fill them with your Holy Spirit and empower them to live the lives that you have called them to live. I thank you that everything is washed away. Every bit of sin, every bit of shame, every bit of guilt is washed away in Jesus' name. And church, we're just going to just do one more thing. I just believe there's people here today, and this isn't going to be for everyone, but I just want to see if there's anyone here today and you know that that's you, that you want that heart and that fire back to do the things that God has called you. You know that you are called to win people for Christ. You remember the days when you'd always be thinking about it and you feel like it's just gone a little bit numb. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Come on, for the ones who you know, there's this burning thing in the inside of your chest and you're like, I know I'm called to reach people for Jesus. I know I'm called to tell my friends and my family. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God, and we just break every single thing that's tried to set itself up against them, to distract them, to turn their minds away from your heart. And Father, we speak over them right now. Let your fire fill their hearts, Lord Jesus, that their hearts will burn and break for you. Father, I just speak right now that, Lord, as you're giving them that heart back again to save souls, to see souls set free, Lord Jesus, I pray they will not be held back. I pray, Father God, that nothing in this world will entangle them, but their hearts will burn for you. And as they burn for you, they will speak up in Jesus' name. That, Father, they will be the ambassadors, the different ones, the ones that speak your word, even when everyone is silent. The ones that stand in the gap and begin to groan and begin to pray and begin to intercede for souls. Father, fill them right now with your fire. Father, give them that burden back. Give them that burden back. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take a seat. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So, church, as I said, over these next 4 weeks, it's going to be very exciting as we begin to lay our hearts back on the altar of God. As we begin to lay our hearts back on the altar of God and just believe for salvation over our city, that God will use us as well to go and reach others.